Well, that pretty much, it ties in a lot into the message that I have for today, about serving. And I didn't plan to have that announcement with my sermon, but it goes really good together. God is so good. He is so good. Before we do anything else, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for who you are, for what you've done, and also for what you're going to do. I am filled with an excitement, an expectation of just what you have in store for us, God. Not just today, but for the rest of our lives. But right now, right here, this moment, Lord, I just invite your presence. I invite the truth of your word. I invite your spirit that says that it leads and guides us into all truth. We desire that truth. We hunger for that truth, your truth. Not what the world describes as truth or defines as truth, but what you, who are the one true God, says is the true word. We just want you, Lord. Use this time right now that we have. Help us to receive it, to chew it, and to swallow it and accept it as good and as you, Lord. Your words, not human words. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. I don't know how many of you were blessed by Johnny Rolette being here last weekend, but I sure was. I was. I know. Thank you to all of you guys that invited somebody, brought them to church. Invite them again. Bring them again. You know, God is good. In the word, it says that blessed are the feet, beautiful are the feet of those that carry the good news. And it was funny because Johnny got to share how he got those new ostrich boots. So his feet were beautified and he brought the good news. It was good. It was good. You know, God's word is alive and it's good to hear from his messengers. Amen. It is good to hear from those that he has. You know, he gave him a timely word for us. I don't know about you, but the word that he brought, when I got to hear him, I missed him Sunday morning because I was up with the kids, but Sunday night, the word that he brought was a timely word for me. And I know I've heard from some of you guys that it was a timely word for you. And that's what happens when you submit to God. You let him use you. He will give you a timely word. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'd like for us to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 16. And being here at Faith Ministries Church is great because here at this church, we get taught the word. We get the word, the unadulterated word of God. And you know what? In this day and age, that is a special thing, unfortunately. It shouldn't be, but it is. You know, this book is the truth. It's the truth. It's the word of God. We don't get we're going to look up what, February 26th? Okay, this is what we're supposed to preach today, guys. This is what the head honcho said we're going to do. You know, everybody turn in your booklets to 226, and that's our thing. You know, no, you get preachers that pray and ask the Lord, like, what do you have today for your people? What do you want to say, God? And that's the best way. God's way is always the best way. Amen? Like, something can be good, but if it's not God, it can go bad real fast, real fast. You know, I experience that a lot with praise and worship. I can plan songs that sound good, that we can play really well. But if it's not God, it's like, you know, like we'll be up here and we'll be messing up. Nobody will be singing. You know, it'll just be bad. And it's like, well, God, but we play it so good. And it's like, but that's not what I wanted you to play today. You know, When I ask God, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear, God? And we obey, that's when it's good. That's when we hear the sounds of heaven. And you know what? Today at the end, after we got done singing How Great Is Our God, you know, we were just playing. A lot of times, you know, like I had so many things that I wanted to say, and I just heard, listen to the sounds of heaven. And I just stood there and just listened as they played. And I don't know, there's something about that song, How Great Is Our God. If you've heard, there's several different versions that are out there, and there's one version of How Great Is Our God where they sing every line and every verse in a different language. It is so powerful, so powerful. And when we get to heaven, we get to hear every tribe, every nation, every tongue, ones that we know, ones that we don't. We get to hear them say, maybe not necessarily in that song, but we get to hear them worship and say, how great is our God? How great is our God? And I don't know. It was just listen to the sounds of heaven. It's good. It's good. So our blessing is in the obedience. You know, so how great that we have leaders and ministers and ministry partners like Johnny that are obedient to the word. When we come to church, every time we come to church, we need to realize that there's something for us that God has ready for us to receive. When we were in pre-service prayer today, the Lord spoke to me through a prophecy, and he said, "I'm sending manna from heaven. Get ready to catch it and receive it because it's for you." And I believe that he wanted to share that with all of you this morning, that God is sending you manna from heaven. And, you know, in the Old Testament, if they didn't catch it or they tried to hold it, it would spoil. It was only good fresh. And the Lord wants to say to you, get ready to catch and receive my word today because it's for you. And then Calvin had shared through the leading of the Spirit that fresh bread from the head, new wine from the vine. And Jesus said in his word that I am the vine. It also says that he is the head of the church. And so God has something for us today. Every time we go to church, whether it's me or whoever, you know, whoever's preaching, if you're there, that means God has something for you. Whether you're like, wow, I don't like the way this guy preaches, it doesn't matter. You're here today, that means God has something for you. And when we're listening to the word and we hear and something like jumps out at us, that's God speaking to you saying, that's for you, pay attention. And it could be one thing out of the whole sermon, but to me, if it's God telling you one thing, it's worth it. It's worth it. So we need to be ready to receive. Jesus said over and over again in the word that, you know, he that has ears, let him hear. So I just pray that we would all have ears to hear. God wants us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. I was listening to some good preaching on my podcast, and it was so cool because as the preacher is opening, he's like, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke and whatever, and you hear people like in the background like, amen, glory, hallelujah, and whatever, and that he hadn't even said one word, but it was rejoicing in the word. God's word is good. It's good, and we should be rejoicing in the word, hallelujah. The psalmist said in 191, in Psalm 191, that he said, I rejoice in your word as one who finds great spoil. That's good. That's good. So when he was saying, let's turn to Mark, and people were saying, yes, amen, glory, that's good. And like, it's like, you don't even know what we're going to say, but it's good because it's God's word. It's God's word, and God's word is alive. Did you guys know that God's word is alive? In the scripture, it says that the word, that it's the breathed word of God. One version describes it as the inspired written word of God, the inspired breath of God put onto paper. And so that's why, like, for me, I can read the same verse 100 times and, like, something different will pop out every time. Or, like, you'll get some new, like, oh my gosh, I didn't really see it that way, because it's alive. And God is always changing. He's always moving. He's always doing something new and fresh. And just because, you know, you've read it one time doesn't mean you shouldn't read it again or there's not something new there for us. It's alive and it's for you. It's for me. It's for you. Hallelujah. It's good. So if you have your Bibles, I told you, let's go to Luke 16. There's something special about having a Bible. And I encourage you, if you didn't bring a Bible today, that's okay. You know, we're going to have the scriptures up here on the screen. Maybe you have it on your phone, your app, whatever. You downloaded it. However you got it, it's good. But to me personally, like, I love my iPad. I read and I can highlight and make cool, like, graphics and whatever from the scriptures. But there's something about being able to turn the page, smell the book, write with your pen, whatever. There's something to me that's just special about having the book. So a couple weeks ago, Calvin had given a sermon called Into the Breach. And I encourage you, if you weren't here and you missed it, please go to our website and listen to it. It was a timely word for us. And when he was giving his sermon, the Holy Spirit gave me a word, and I'm going to share that with you. It said, wear your gifts like a flaming robe. Wear your fire like a cloak, a mantle around you. Don't take it lightly. It's not a game. This is serious business. Wear the gift of my Spirit on your sleeve. Take it to heart and share it. Share from your heart, my heart. Be ready to share in the mantle of praise, the mantle of my spirit, says the Lord. So what is the Lord saying, what does that have to do with you today? And to me, it was like, okay, God, you know, that's awesome. So what do you want me to do with that? And what is the Lord saying? He's saying, get ready to serve. Get ready to share your gifts. Get ready to do. You know, there was a lot of verbs in that. And when Johnny was here, if you were here for the night service, one of the things that he said that really struck a chord with me through the unction of the Spirit, obviously, was that the blessing is in the serving. The blessing is in the serving. And so we're in Luke. I'm not there. You guys are there. So Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're in Luke 16. I'm so excited I get to use this new pulpit. It's good. It's good to get new things. Amen. It's nice. It's nice. So this is, it feels modern. I keep scraping my ring on it. But all right. So we're in Luke 16. Starting in verse 1, Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting the employer's money. So the employer called him and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches and I'm too proud to beg. Oh, I know. I how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." So he invited each person who owed his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. "And how much do you owe my employer?" he asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat." Here, the manager said, "Take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. So here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, they will come to you, or they will come welcome you to an eternal home." This parable has always, blown my mind. One of those where you're like, I don't get. Why? Why are we talking about this? You know? And it was one of those things, I was reading it, and God's like, "I want to use that." I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense to me. But what is the Lord saying in that? Is to me, it's like, is Jesus promoting, dishonesty? What is he saying? Well, no, of course not. But the dishonest manager he was so bad, he didn't even know how much people owed him. If he's the manager of his goods, shouldn't he already know how much the people owed him? Shouldn't he have a record, how much you owe him instead of, the dishonest manager used his position at the moment to take care of himself for the future when he wouldn't have his job any longer. So the message to the disciples, and we know that it wasn't just the disciples that Jesus was talking to most times. There was the Pharisees that were always there waiting to criticize and all that, and tax collectors. And, so a lot of the times it was kind of like a double message. Jesus would be telling the disciples, but at the same time telling everybody else. So he was telling the Pharisees, the tax collectors, disciples, who were all listening, to use your present situation to take care of your future. Use your present situation to help take care of your future. And then in verse 10, so we read 1 through 9, and then verse 10 says, "If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own?" I'm going to read that again. If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? That cut me quick. The Bible is described as a sword that cuts between joint and marrow. It cuts. Sometimes when we read the word, it's not all like flowery and, you know, sometimes it cuts and it hurts. But the word says that it proves God's love when he disciplines and corrects us. It proves that he loves us. And this to me was a correction. What I do with what I have today determines what I'll have tomorrow. What we do with what we have today determines what we'll have tomorrow. And if I yell at people and push them away, are they going to be around to help me tomorrow? No. When they see my text or see the number on their caller ID, they're like, silence. You know, like, no. What we do today determines what we'll have tomorrow. The blessing is in the serving. That's the title of this message for today. The blessing is in the serving. It's good to serve, and we're told to do it. In Galatians 5:3, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Amen. Hallelujah. We're called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And in Proverbs 11:25, this is a promise that I love. It says that the one who waters, will he himself be watered. So when we serve, we get served ourselves. When we water, we get watered ourselves. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel pretty dry and I need that water. And if you are out there watering other people, God's going to bless you. That's what that means. If you're out there serving other people, sowing into people, God's going to bless you back. So if you want to be blessed, bless others. You want more. Do you want more? And I think the word says that our human desires are never satisfied. Obviously, we're always going to want more of something, whether it's godly or not. I mean, we always want more. Hopefully, it's godly desires. But if we want more, then we got to take care of what we have and serve, and we will get more. And you know what? If we are calling ourselves Christians, which I know we all describe ourselves as, means a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ. And Christ himself in Mark, it says that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. He came with the sole purpose of serving others. And it says, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came not to be glorified. He didn't come to be able to, you know, be the head of a parade and, you know, given the keys to the city and all that. He will be. He is. I mean, obviously he has a victory now, but he came in such a lowly state. He came to serve. He came to serve, and he came to redeem us. And he was, now he's sitting at the right hand of God. Talk about being blessed in return for the serving. Hallelujah. So, you know, I've been in this church for a long time. Since I was in fifth grade. Since the days of Dave Neely and all kinds of other. I've been in this scene. I don't think any of you, a couple of you know who that is. But I have been in this church a long time. How long ago was that? I don't even know. I'm going to be 30 this year, so probably like 20, maybe 21 years been here. And in that time, I have seen the door come and go and revolve on a lot of people that have been here. And even I, at one point, our family was not at this church anymore, and we came back. Glory to God. God straightened us out. But in the time that we have been here, like I said, I've seen a lot of people come and go. And one thing that I've seen a lot of is people come and they're like, pastors, I submit to you. Use me how you put me, wherever you want. I just want to be used. I just want to be used of God. I want to serve. I want to serve the church. But when they're asked to do children's ministry or to help clean the toilets on Saturday, all of a sudden we don't see them anymore. It's the truth. It happens. I'm not saying with everybody, but I've seen it a lot. That people come and they're like so eager and they're like the loudest ones that are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you give them a job and it's like, well, that's not my calling. That's not what God wants me to do. peace. I need to, you know, but it's like, hello, these, our pastors are our authority here in this church. And if they, you know, the world says that we're supposed to submit to our parents, right? Honor your father and mother. And if we are here, we're submitting to our pastors as our spiritual parents in this church family. So when we get asked, you know, they've asked Mitch and I to do stuff, and it's honestly, and it's sometimes you're like, well, I don't really want to do that. But we do it because the blessing is in the serving. The blessing is in the obedience. God has asked them to do stuff, and I'm sure they've been asked by other people to do things that they may not have necessarily liked, but it was, we have to submit and be obedient. And so sometimes, you know, I've seen people leave because it wasn't what they wanted to do. It wasn't the glamorous job, you know, or the highest position. Or maybe, well, nobody's going to see them if they're here cleaning the church. Like, nobody's here to see them do that. Well, if we want more, we have to humble ourselves and serve. The word says that he who humbles himself will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And I would rather be humbled and exalted than riding high and getting smacked down off of them, you know. And that's happened. That's happened. And sometimes, and I've shared this before, and it's the truth, like during praise and worship, we'll be singing a song, and I'm like, man, I sound good right now. And then 1 second after that rolls through my head, squeak, my voice goes, you know, or something. And it's like, and then it's always like God checking me, like, hey, it's not you. It's me moving through you. And it's like, you're right, God. You're right, God. You know, that's, it's not me. It's you going through me. And, you know, God will check us. God will check us. And it's good. It's good that we get checked. Otherwise, we run amok. So, hallelujah. So, if we want more, we have to take care of what we have. And if we want to be moved up, then we need to serve. Are we okay? Everybody's here? I don't have any rotten tomatoes yet. You're in Luke 16. Go backwards a page or two to Luke 14. We're going to read in verse 7. It says, when Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if somebody who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you will be embarrassed and you will have to take a seat, whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. When the host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. So I can't be wanting more if I'm not willing to serve and take care of what I already have currently. And the Lord has been dealing with me a lot on this. You know, we've been desiring and wanting a bigger house for our family. We have, you know, 3 small kids, and when you have small kids, it's like 1,000 toys per kid, and, you know, 1,000 clothes and 1,000 socks. Like, it's a lot. We have 3 kids, 4 dogs, I don't even know how many cats we have, and a fish, and between all of us, our little house, I love it, but it's a little claustrophobic, and so we've been not so much praying, but wanting a bigger house and looking at Zillow every day and all the real estate things and driving by and driving all over. And something that God has been dealing with me, you know, sometimes when God tells you stuff, you don't really like it. Like, you know, something that you know you should be doing, but you don't really want to do it. And so you're kind of just like, okay, like, shh, 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 you know, like, we're not going to talk about that, God, you know. And when we drive around, and we've even gone and looked in a few houses, there was one that we actually got a little bit serious with, and thank God we listened to God, and we didn't go any further than that, because you know what, that's a story for another day. But anyways, you know, we've been looking and all these things, and God's like, you're not even cleaning the poops in the yard you have right now. Like, why are you? I'm like, shh, God, like, what? Like, you haven't even painted the chipped paint in the bathroom of your own house. Why are you wanting, shh, shh, we're not going to talk about that. And it's like, if you aren't even going to take care of the littler house that you have right now, why am I going to give you a bigger house that you're not going to take care of even more? Like, and it's like, God, shh, shh, shh. Like, we're not going to talk about that. I want a bigger house. Like, whew, just make it happen. I don't want the detail, you know? And it's like, no, we can't be wanting more if we're not taking care of what we have right now. As painful as that is to me, and that's why I told Mitch, I'm like, God's really been dealing with me on this, so we need to get some coats of paint, we need to do some whatever stuff, and we need to start taking better care of the house that we have right now. And right now, you know, we've been skating by because, like, Mitch's mom is here, my mom's around, and like, Mitch makes fun of my mom because she's a wiper. She wipes. And so if she's around, like, all of a sudden, she'll be like, you know, like, wiping things and whatever. And I kind of get, like, I kind of skate off that sometimes. And God's been dealing with that to me, too. It's like, well, you know, they're not always going to be around. You know, they're not, what if my mom moves or whatever? Like, she's not going to be around to clean your house for you or whatever. It's like, what? You know, but it's true. We have to learn to take care of ourselves and grow a little bit. Take care of what we have, and if we can't be wanting more if we aren't going to honor what God has given us in the moment. So in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says that it's required of a steward that they be found trustworthy. It's required of a steward that they be found trustworthy. A steward is not steward. A steward is a person that takes care of something else. Okay, so like we have stewards of the cemetery, there's people that is their job to take care of, you know, and make sure the grounds are clean and whatever, you know, there's people that have stewards of their house, like, I wish I had one that would just, you know, and it's somebody that takes care of something else, and we are required, it is required of a steward that they be found trustworthy, otherwise they'll be like the manager of that guy's house finding themselves without a job. You know, and I had to ask myself, am I being a good steward of what I have? Am I taking care of what the Lord has given me? You know, I want a bigger house, but honestly, I'm not really taking that good care of the one that I have now. You know, it's one thing to clean and get ready when you're going to have a party and stuff, but like on the daily, when people aren't seeing the behind the scenes, what are we doing, you know, with what we have? And if I don't take care of what I have now, why should I expect God to give me more? And that applies to all areas of our life. It applies to our church, our job, our finances, our family, our, you know, whatever. If we aren't taking care of what we have now, why do we expect God to give us more? Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 25. All right, Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. And this is the parable of the three servants. And you know what? This is, I'm sure if you've been going to church for any length of time, you've heard this parable a few times. I'm sure you've read it in your Bible a few times, if you've been reading your Bible, which I hope you are. And if you're not, today's the day. Anyways, so starting in verse 14, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more, but the servant who was received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account for how they had used his money. The servant who had entrusted the 5 bags came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. Then the master was full of praise, and he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver. I have earned 2 more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? At least I would have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags. So let's go on. The best part here is verse 29. It says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. Can I hear you guys say, even more? Even more. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But, say but. But those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. It's not that God didn't give to them. He did. He gave each of them something. And the word says, according to their abilities. It was that the last servant did nothing. He didn't complain to the second servant, well, why didn't you make 5 bags out of the 2 that I gave you? Like, why didn't you make as much as this guy or more? He just wanted them to do something with what he gave them. To do something. God isn't saying, like, if you don't save 5 million people, you're not getting into heaven, like, sorry. You know, like, there's not, he just wants us to do something with what he has given us. If we do nothing, he's going to take what little we got and give it to somebody else who's gonna do something. Because the time is short. I don't know about you, but I watch the news sometimes. I read the paper. I mean, I hear it on the radio. This world is crying and hurting for the truth. For the truth. It needs the truth. And this is the truth. We know this is the truth. The unadulterated word of God. And whether people want to receive it or not, that's not our job. But our job is to do with what God has given us. And he has given us, well, you know. You know what God has told you to do. We all each know there's things in our life that God has been telling us to do. And maybe you're moving in that and that's awesome. But maybe you're not. And you're kind of like how I was, like, shh, shh, like, hey, we're not gonna talk about that because I don't really want to do it. That's not like, But God is saying he's given it to you for a reason. He's telling it to you for a reason. And the blessing is in the serving. The blessing is in the obedience. We can't be wanting more or crying that we don't have when we just dug a hole in the ground and did nothing with what we have. So if you want a bigger house, if I want a bigger house, I got to take care of the one I have. Fix it up, make it nice. Show God, like, hey, I am ready. I am ready because, you know, it says here that he gave according to their abilities. So what you have is what you can handle right now. Show God that you're ready for more if you want more. Take care of what you have and be like, God, I can handle this yard. I can handle this house. I'm going to keep it clean because I want a bigger one. And if I can do this with mine, I can do it with a bigger one. Do you want more money? We got to stop wasting. Stop wasting the one that you've got. Start tithing. Use it wisely. Oh, no, she said tithing. Like, yeah, it's a promise in the Bible. You know, we got to start doing what we're supposed to do. Like, stop wasting money. Like, spend less than I make. Save a little. What? Yeah, then you'll have some. Do we want a bigger church? We got to start sowing into the people that are here. Sow into the people that are here and help them grow. And then they're gonna produce a harvest that will make its own fruit. You know, like, start pouring into what you have right now and God will multiply it and give you more. So whatever you're wanting more of, I don't know about you, but I want these, they're going to be filled. All these chairs are going to be filled. We're going to have to be pulling the ones from the side there, from the ones we have stored up in the top there. Like, I am excited. It is a year of increase in all good things, and church and serving the Lord is a good thing. We're having an increase of that this year. Coming to church is a good thing. We're going to have an increase of that this year. But shoot, man, there are people in my life that God has been telling me and dealing with me on that I need to be pouring myself into them more. It's easy to be friends with your friends, you know? It's easy to hang out with your friends. It's easy to be friends with your friends. But there are people in my life that's like, I want you to hang out with that person. Well, I don't really want to. I mean, I'd rather go hang out with my friends. Like, we're cool together. Yeah, but that person needs Jesus, and you have what they need. And if we don't ever step out of our what we have right now and take that step out, then we're never going to, it'll be my same five friends that come to church every Sunday instead of, why don't we make some new friends, and then we'll have 10 friends that come to church, and then they'll make a new friend, and then we'll have 20 friends that are coming to church. Like, that's the compound effect. When we start putting in or putting out, we're going to get more back. Hallelujah. So let's all, you know, it's not up to the pastors to be going out and knocking on doors every, you know, Saturday and be like, you guys need to come to church. Like, it's us. We are the body. We are the body. And we have people in our life that need to be in church. So take up your courage, gird up your loins, and invite them to church. Okay? It's the worst that can happen is they say no. Then invite the next one on your list. And go back to the one, when you go through all your lists, start over again and invite them again. Hallelujah. If you want a promotion at work, shoot. Everybody wants a promotion at work. You want a raise, right? I have people that are like, there's people at my job that they like give out awards every so often, and there's people that like want it so bad, but they suck. It's like, you're not going to get it. You're like, there's people, you know, they're like hiding in the bathroom on Facebook at work, and then they cry because they didn't get employee of the month. It's like, well, duh, you're not going to get, you know, if we want a promotion, we want more, if we want to be recognized, then we got to serve. I'm going to toot your horn a little bit. You won't ever do it. But Mitch got Teacher of the Year at Douglas High School, and I have seen him for the past 10 years I don't know how long we've been together, but however long, he pours himself into those students. He serves them. He serves them. If you want to be recognized, you got to serve. You got to serve. If you want a raise, show your boss that you deserve one. Earn it. You know, I mean, a lot of times I see, and I've been guilty of it, we just stand like, we just want. Yes, give me. I mean, I deserve it. I want it. So that means I should have it. Well, we got to earn it. We got to earn it. The word says that we will reap what we sow. And if whatever we're wanting, we got to sow into that desire, into that dream, and God will produce the harvest, and the blessing will come from that. The blessing is in the serving. The blessing is in the obedience. Hallelujah. You know, we don't plant seeds and then go and yell at the ground asking it why it didn't grow. Like, you stupid seed, why aren't you here? I want my watermelons already. I want my apples, whatever it is. Whatever. I've just recently planted a strawberry plant. And it's like, you know, why aren't there any strawberries? It's like, well, if I don't ever water the plants, like, I'm guilty of that. They'll go like days. And I'll pass by, I'm like, oh, shoot, I need to water. And then I don't, you know, and it's like, you know, if we don't ever water or take care of the seeds that we've planted or sow into those things, then we can't be mad that we didn't get the harvest of it. Are we getting this? I've seen some people like, who's here? Nobody here. Nobody here. I've seen people that like, you know, they want more kids. They're like, yeah, I could have like 20 kids. It's like, but you got two, man, and they're crazy. You gotta take care of the ones you got. You don't need five more kids. You don't need, you know, it's like, we gotta, you know, like, people ask us, like, hey, when are you gonna have a, we are making it. We are making it with our three right now. We'll see what God wants for us later. But, you know, we gotta take care of our house. God, take care of your house. You don't need more kids if you can't handle the ones that you have right now. I mean, that's biblical. Don't get mad at me. It says in 1 Timothy 3:5 that it says, "For a man cannot, if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church?" That's the word. So that's not me. You got to take care of your own house too. If you can't take care of your own house, how are you going to do what God wants you to do on the outside? Some people, me, sometimes it's like, oh, I want another dog. And my mom's always the first one, you can't even brush the ones that you have. What are you going to do with another dog? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know? And it's true. It's like, if we can't even take care of the ones that we've got now, like, take care of what you have, tend it, show that you're ready for another one, okay? Like Sophia, she loves, I'm sure you've seen, comes in all kinds of clothes. Like, she loves clothes. She thinks that just because two things are pink that they match, even if one is like flower, the other is plaid. Like, she's very into, and she's always like, Mom, I want more shoes. Like, girl, you don't even wear the ones you have now. Like, why am I going to go buy you more shoes? It's the same with us. Like, if we don't take care of and use what we have right now, why do we keep expecting and wanting more? When God is saying, you got to prove that you're ready for more before I'm going to give you more. You got to prove the status, your status. And I was looking online, and I was reading in this financial advising website. And I'm going to read this sentence. This is a direct quote from the website, from the author. And he said, whenever I'm in a financially destitute area, I start seeing many of the same things. I see homes that are creaky, often with paint falling off. I see front yards and backyards full of junk and items left out in the rain to fall apart. I see cars in poor shape, a mixture of rust and lots of hard miles on them. I see overgrown and patchy lawns. I see air conditioning units that sound like they're about ready to explode, covered in dust and cobwebs. In short, I see a lot of items that people own that simply have no care given to them at all. Unsurprisingly, these items will have to be replaced sooner than they would have with a little bit of TLC. Or else they're items that were bought completely frivolously, were barely used, and will never be replaced. I'm not picking on people who make these lifestyle choices. Instead, I'm drawing the connection between their financial state and the way they treat their stuff. With every item that sits out there and dilapidates, some of their financial resources are simply being blown away. Taken together, those resources provide the opportunity to have the things you dream of. So the moral of that quote is, when you don't take care of what you have, it will end up costing you more in the long run. Take care of what you have first and it will last. It seems to me like things in this day and age are made to be thrown away and replaced instead of taken care of and fixed. We were recently blessed with a new washer and dryer, but the ones that we had before were the same ones that my parents got when I was born. Like, they were, 28, 29 years old. And they still worked. Like, there was nothing wrong with them. We were just blessed with new ones, which is awesome. But, I remember times when the washer would, growing up with my mom, like, the washer would stop working, or it wouldn't spin, or like, whatever. And she would call the repairman to come fix the washer and dryer. Well, that washer and dryer lasted us 29 years. I mean, it's still lasting. We were able to bless somebody else because of we got blessed. But in this time, it's easier, and I think it's a laziness factor that we just throw it away and get a new one. We'll just get a new one instead of taking the time to repair something that in the long run it'll save you money, instead of, if we waste things, and then we're going to end up having to buy another one anyways. My mom, something that I was always taught was if you buy for quality, even though it's more expensive at the moment, it will save you money in the long run. Because you could buy 5 shirts that cost $1, and then you wash them once, and then they shrink or they unravel, and you have to throw them away. Versus buying one shirt that you can have for 10 years, and it lasts you. But in this day and age, it seems like everything is just ready. You use it and then throw away and get a new one. It's like, to me, it's like a money-making scheme of the industries. Like, it's almost like they're made to fall apart. It's what it seems like to me. And honestly, a lot of us, we just get too lazy to even really notice it, or we just throw it away. Stops working? Nah, just throw it out and get a new one. Oh, your marriage isn't going the way you want to? Just throw it out, get a new one. I mean, it's easy. Oh, you don't want that baby? It's not the right time for your life. It's not convenient for you. You can throw it away. And when you're ready, when it's your choice, then you can have one. There are parents giving up on their kids. I mean, shoot, imagine if God did that to us. God's promise is that he will never give up on us. He never gives up on us. Even when we're in our worst state, he never gives up on us. in Deuteronomy, it says that he will never leave us or forsake us. Never. When we are at our most broken time, God never trashes us and like, just throw it away. I'll make a new one. He loves us. He loves us. The word says that when we were in our filthy rags, he loved us. When we were in our darkness, he called us out of that darkness and into the light. He redeemed us. In the Old Testament, before the blood of Jesus, I mean, people would get wiped out. I mean, you look at the great flood, look at Noah. It says that Noah and his family, like they were the only ones that were worthy of saving. They were the only good ones. Everybody else, God's like, I don't know what to do. Like, we're just going to start fresh. And that's why they had the flood and then Noah's Ark, blah, blah, blah. Right? I mean, that happened other times. Like, when was it? Moses. And they made the calf, like Moses had gone up and then they made the calf and he came back. And like, God smote all the people that worshiped the calf. But now, because of Jesus, I mean, there have all of us have had times in our lives when we're out there worshiping the golden calf instead of seeking God. And yet God, because of Jesus, says, I'm not going to throw them away. I sent Jesus to redeem them once and for all because I'm not going to throw them away. He loves us. God loves us that much. God doesn't want to throw us away. He wants to tend us, to grow us, to mature us, and to bring us closer to him. So whatever we do in our lives, it should be to the glory of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. This is Colossians 3:23-24. You might not have it in the Amplified on the computer, but that's okay. I'm going to read it from in there. It says, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. Whatever we're doing, do it unto the Lord, because you know that that's where your blessing comes from. It's not from people. It's from the Lord. So even if you're like, yeah, I want that promotion, but nobody is ever going to see me in my job in the area that I do. I work the night shift. I work as a janitor. Nobody's ever going to notice. God will cause them to notice because he will make a way. If you are out there serving as unto the Lord, God will, I don't know, they'll watch the video and like all of a sudden notice that you're out there doing whatever. I mean, God will make a way. He is not going to leave his servants lacking for anything. So if you are out there putting out your all, God is going to, if you're humbling yourself, what does it say? Those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. I was reading about Dr. Yongji Cho. Dr. Cho, he is the pastor of the Yoido Full Gospel Church in China with over 800,000 members. It is the biggest church in the world. 800,000, that is, how many people do we have in Douglas? Like 16 or 17,000, that's like a Wednesday night service for them. Like the whole town, 800,000 members, the biggest church. But it started with 5 old ladies under a tarp. There was 5 members, maybe it was him included. So it might have been like 3 or 4 old ladies under a tarp. Right. But did he dismiss people? He's like, well, there's only 2 people here. Let's just dismiss and go to Denny's instead. No. It says that he preached, I've heard a quote where he said that he preached to those 3 or 4 old ladies like he would to thousands. He put his heart into it. It didn't matter if there was only 2 people there. He served and he served them with all of his might. With all of his might, and God blessed him in the serving, and now it's the biggest church with over 800,000 members. So don't underestimate small beginnings. Do not underestimate small beginnings. Where you are, God has placed you there for such a time as this, and if you want more, act like it. Move in what you have, and God will promote you, because that's the best promotion. When God promotes you, it's good. It's good. And you know what? It's faith. When you do that kind of stuff, when you're like that dude and like preaching with all your might and giving it your all and, you know, whatever to these like three people, that's an act of faith. That's an act of faith. What does the word say? It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, things not yet seen. So that is an act of faith. And what does the word say? Faith without works is dead. So we have to start acting and moving in what we want to see, sowing into what we want to see happen. Instead of just sitting and talking about it or yelling at the ground, like, you stupid seed, I planted you. What? You got to start watering it, tend it, pull the weeds out around it. Like, start, you know, working it a little bit. And then pretty soon there's going to be a shoot. And then, you know, all of a sudden there's a flower or a little bud or whatever. I mean, we got to tend what we have. We talk about faith in as far as speaking terms, but God wants us to start moving in faith with our physical actions of every day. Our actions need to match our dreams. When we sweep the floor or paint the walls, do it to prepare for the next level. Do it as watering your seeds for a greater harvest later. When we're inviting somebody to church or we're praying for somebody at home, do it as watering those seeds for the harvest later. Luke 6:38 says, give and you will receive. Give and you will receive. Give and you will receive. Who said that? Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Give and you shall receive. Give and you shall receive. That is a direct promise from God. That is a direct promise from God. And we can't stand on the promises of God if we refuse to submit to the word of God. We can't stand on the promises of God if we refuse to submit to the word of God. And the word says, serve. Serve others. Give and you will receive. Give of yourself. That means you put out first and you're going to get back. Put out first and you will get back. And your gift will return to you in full, but not just that. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Mitch and I, we had a little get together for Noah's birthday. And on Friday night, we were making these little centerpieces. It was a train theme and I like wanted it to be a, you know, Pinterest looking party. And so we're going to make these little centerpieces. And I had Mitch filling up these cups with sand because I was sticking something in them and that was going to be a centerpiece. And so he was filling them up. I'm like, Mitch, you got to press it down. It's like, hey, I'm pressing it down. I'm like, no, you got to press it down and you know, then fill it up with more. And like, that's how God is going to do with our blessing, not just a scoop, but like a scoop and then you tap it and then you like smush it down and get, and then more and then more. That's how God wants to do with us. Not just a scoop, but pressed down, shaken together, making room for more, making room for more. Running over and pouring into your lap. But the kicker is the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's what the end of the verse says. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. It's not enough just to plant seeds. It's not enough just to say with your words that you want something. It's not enough just to dream or write it down in your journal that you want this or that. Or God showed you this, you know, that he wants to do this with Douglas or he wants to do this in the church or whatever, which he's done with me. It's not enough just to write it down. We have to water those seeds. We have to tend them. If God has given you a dream for a business or for your life or some idea, it's not enough just to make a cool sketch about it or write it down or whatever. We got to start moving in it. Move in it. To get the fruit, to get the flower, to get the new plants, whatever you're wanting from that seed, it all starts by taking care of the seed that you planted now. And then that seed will grow and make more plants and more seeds to plant more, and it goes on. So if I want more plants, I have to take care of the ones I have now, and they'll make more seed. My actions today determine my reality tomorrow. So we got to start acting in the way that we want to live. Act in faith for what we want to have. And really, it's pride of ownership. we know this house, and we've driven by this house and have been in this house, not the house we live in, but a different house in town. And we knew the people that owned it previously. They sold it. They moved away. It was a beautiful house. Lots of trees, swimming pool, a back house, like lots of rooms. The person that bought it next trashed it. They cut down all the trees. They threw like junky cars in the yard. It was still a beautiful house. It had the same amount of rooms, had the same amount of square footage, but it was dependent on the owners, how it looked, how it was tended and taken care of. Those trees, I'm like, I would drive by and like, why did you cut the trees? Beautiful, mature, big shade trees. They chopped them down. I don't know why. But, and yet I've driven by over, you know, First Street, those little houses. And to anybody else, you drive by and that's like, you know, like the ghetto over there. But yeah, you can drive by and there's these little houses that are taken care of so meticulously, so beautifully, that it doesn't matter that it's a little house. It's beautiful. The yard is clean. There's flowers that are planted. I mean, there's trees. It's like, I want to look in that house. I want to see who lives there. You know, it's not the matter of what you have in, as far as in size. It matters what you do with it. Just like those three servants. It didn't matter that one had five and one had two. But they both still did something with it. And the one that had won the least amount to take care of, which should have been the easiest, he did nothing. So I just want to read Matthew 5, verse 29 one more time. It says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Be a good steward. Because the blessing is in the serving. That's the manna that God has for you. If you have heard everything I've said but heard nothing, God wants you to take care of what you have. Take care of what you have right now and show him that you're ready for more. Show him that you're ready to move to the next level. Because his plans for us are for good. The word says they're for a future and a hope, meaning that God doesn't want you to stay in that same level. You know, it's like a video game. You don't buy a video game so you can stay in level one the whole time. Like, you want to move up and you want to beat the boss, right? So it's like God doesn't want you to just stay where you are. He wants to move you up to level two. But if you can't ever get past the first 5 seconds, you're never going to get there. Show him that you're ready. Show him that you're ready to level up, because that's where he wants to take you. I hope that you understand from this message, I am not trying to tear down anyone, because I am there in that boat with you. I am dealing with this myself. But God is not wanting to correct us to tear us down. It's to build us up. He is saying, take care of what you have. Start tending your own flock so that I can give you more. Because I want to take you to that next playing field. I want to take you higher. So show me. Show me you're ready. Let's go ahead and stand on our feet. Right now when I'm praying, if you need prayer for anything, I want you to come. And if you have been convicted or corrected by this message and you're like, God, I don't know what to do. Like, I want to pray for you. God wants to show you how to better tend what you have. God wants to show you strategies on how to water the seeds. He wants to show you how to do it. You know, just like certain plants, you can't leave them in full sun, or some need shade or whatever. God wants to give you the strategy to make it work the best. And if you have an area or a situation in your life where you need that light on the subject, God wants to show it to you. So I want to invite you to come for prayer, and God wants to reveal that plan to you. Because the cool thing about God is that it says that we can know his will. He doesn't want to leave us in the dark. But he wants to give us his light, his truth that leads, the word, his spirit that leads us into all truth. So like I said, if that's you, just come. And if not, then just stay where you are and we're just going to pray. And as I'm praying, just give it all over to God. He knows your heart's desire already. He knows that thing that you've been wanting, that you've been asking for. He already knows that vision that you have because he gave it to you. And he wants to grow you in it. Lord, we thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your greatness. Lord, you know the dreams and the thoughts and the desires that are in each and every one of us. There's nothing kept secret from you. Right now, Lord, I ask on behalf of us all, first of all, for forgiveness. Lord, I am sorry for the times that we have been wanting more and yet leaving our own things in disarray. Wanting more, but yet not knowing the state of our own flock. Lord, we want to be good stewards of what you have given us. We want to move to that next level, to increase in all good things. That has been your promise for us for this year, Lord. But right now I ask that you would give to each and every person here a fresh light, a fresh vision on how to take care of their things better, how to better take care of their stuff, how to better take care of their job, their family, their marriage, their finances, their vision, their ministry, Lord, that you would give each and every one of us a better idea on how to do it. Show us how to do it. The Lord is planning on you inside right now ways or people that you need to serve, ways, things that you need to do. Lord, show us, show us, show us. Because we want to be good stewards of you, God. We want to meet before you and you welcome us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. We know all of these prophecies that you have given us. All of these things that you have said are going to happen, and we want to start moving in them. We love you, Jesus, and we want to please you. Help us. Lord, right now I cry out to you, just like that father cried out to you that said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, right now I pray for those that are here that believe, but also, Lord, that you would help their unbelief, that you would give them a fresh faith to see the harvest that is in that one seed, that they would be able to see the value of that seed, not just as one seed, but as the harvest. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand, God, what is going on for such a time as this. Give us eyes to see your vision in that seed, your vision in the watering, your vision in the tending, because you are the one that makes it grow. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for increase. I just speak that over every person here, Lord, that you would increase their faith, increase them in all good things, Lord. Did you have anything? Okay. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to say to somebody here, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You don't overthink it. You don't need to know why or how. Just do. Just do and trust me, and I'll show you. Hallelujah. We trust you, God. We trust you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. He is good. He is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, I challenge you this week, if you received anything from this message, take it, chew on it, and swallow it. Swallow it. You know, you can chew something and then spit it out later and nobody might know about it, but swallow it. God has it for you. It's good for you. And he wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to increase you in all good things. Hallelujah. Well, we hope to see you tonight. Spirit Fire Worship at 5:00. Spanish service at 6:30. Be blessed. Amen.
Stepping on my toes.
Stepping on my own toes.
Talking about. And in the middle of all this, remember your sermon, I kept hearing the Lord say, you want more people impregnate the ones you get. He said to share it with you and Ben. Thank you.